Do you know it's a privilege to be here? It's a privilege for me to be here. And it's a privilege for you to be here. The Lord has really blessed us with his life and his presence in our life. And I hear Bobby say it so many times, where would I be without him? I know where you'd be. You'd be in a big mess right along with me and all of us. We have our own little circumstances and situations that we battle with, but thank God for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
How important is physical rest? Much in many ways. Sometimes when you don't have enough rest, it's been blamed for many unwanted circumstances in your life. Absent-mindedness, lethargy, decreased motor functions, you're amazed at the mistakes you can make because you don't have enough rest. You might think that is something wrong with you physically, or you might think that getting too old, when it could very well just be a matter of not having enough rest, dropping things, running into things, not having attention or clear head. And you can lose these motor functions while driving. People have terrible car accidents because they are exhausted and tired. It can happen when you're walking. You can not be there and trip sometimes, nothing there but ground, and you can still trip because you're tired. It can happen with your talking, of course, and with your thinking. And then so many other things, not having enough rest can cause in one's life. So today we're going to entertain that subject, the subject of rest, but we're going to do it from a spiritual perspective. We will explore the power of rest and surrender as we discuss the subject, a rest to the people of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your wonderful blessings and just for the fact, Lord, that we were all inspired to come here today. We could have found things to do and places to be, but what better place is there to be but here among your people whom you love and whom we love also. So, Father, we are here to be blessed by you. We expect that you will speak to our hearts. We hope that you will touch us and help us all to get out of your way so that you can minister your truth to our hearts, that we might receive it and that our lives may be better and we may grow thereby. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you do, and particularly, Lord, who you are. In your name, Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, 10 and 11 says, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Then it says in verse 11, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What does this mean? If we use natural interpretations and definitions in a traditional sense, we are sure to not understand these verses and the power that's in these verses. Of course, always when you read scripture, you want to always read it in context, and we're going to try to break it out for you as we go. But you always read a little bit ahead and a little bit behind of whatever scripture that has caught your attention, and typically you'll find the context. And just kind of common sense reading will let you know where that thought starts, and you'll be able to know where that thought or that concept ends. Jesus said in John 14, 4 and 5, where I go ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Then in John 3, 4 through 8, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? He said, I'm the way. In the Old Testament, we see first God resting from his work on the seventh day of creation. We see Israel commanded to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The translation there is, to Israel, do not work on the Sabbath or you are in violation of the law of God, bringing harsh consequences. Many of us have been caught in this commandment today as though he spoke that to us. Don't work on the Sabbath. And many people go about to keep the Sabbath. Only problem, it's a Jewish Sabbath, and the Jewish Sabbath is on a Saturday. Almost everybody can work on a Saturday as far as we're concerned, but folks will try to, will take Sunday and turn it into the Sabbath and say, you shouldn't work on Sunday. Sunday's the Lord's day, yes. But if people are going to really keep the Sabbath, then don't work on Saturday. But I'm just saying to you this morning that this particular commandment was given to Israel. It was a day of rest. One of the biggest mistakes that we and I have made is to reach back, grab some of the commandments that God gave Israel, and began to make them fit into my Christian experience. And listen, I've never studied logic except for life. That you can take a course on logic, but you live long enough, you know logic. You get it. But you won't learn it in a classroom. It won't be theory. It will be hard knocks and bruises and cuts and bloodshed. But you learn logic. There's some things you know not to do as you get older. You find an old man and sit down and talk to him. You say, man, he is such a wise old soul. Well, hey, he's 80 years old, man. He's been around. He's had a chance to learn how these things go. And so you can logically take anything in the scripture and brew up or mix and make it become anything that you want it to be. You could leave here today and go and start your own religious group. And you can use the Bible to justify it. Only it won't be justified because you will have misinterpreted the scriptures. But folks do it. And we've been caught many times with the Old Testament way brought here. Listen, all scripture is good. All scripture is holy. The commandments are holy, the Bible says, and just and good. And there was nothing bad about the Old Testament or the commandments of God. But they were applicable and enforced in their time and in their special space in history. It's not that they've been abolished. Jesus fulfilled them. He completed them. And now we complete them as we live our lives in him. The Old Testament is fulfilled in us in Christ. In the New Testament, we cross over to God's plan from the very beginning. He said in John 6:63, he said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. That means to give life. The flesh profiteth nothing. Then he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. His words are spirit and they are life. Now the word they in that particular scripture is italicized, meaning they, the word they was put in to try and clarify what was being said. Don't know why anyone thinks that God's word needs to be clarified, because it's the Holy Ghost that clarifies the word of God in your hearts today. The words that I speak unto you, if you take they out, it would say the words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. Are spirit and are life. You don't lose that much by taking that out. But sometimes when you read the scriptures, especially in the King James, of course, the other translations have taken care of the italicization. How you say that? Yeah, that was close enough. Thank you. They've taken care of that, of these words that we have in the King James, and they've just made them all just straight words, and they call themselves clarifying the scriptures. I've heard someone call it the nearly inspired version, and several other words for some of these newer in different translations, they're trying to make them. I've heard folks say, well, it's just so much easier to read this. Well, yeah, it is. It reads just like your textbook. But it doesn't inspire you to want to really dig for meaning, because someone else has done the so-called meaning out for you, and they are presenting it to you in a finished format. That's a man who did that for you. And we'll take and we'll read and we'll go, okay, I get it. I understand. But amazingly, sometimes we don't get it. And we really don't understand. Because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. I'm not saying you can't read these other versions, but I do warn you to be very careful as you read them. And I will say, use the King James Version as your standard. And there are a lot of enemies even to the King James Version. You know, I'm not a proponent of, I don't fight for the King James Version. I'm just saying that's what I cut my teeth on, and that's what I learned from. And it's taken years reading it to come to some degree of understanding of it, with a lot of study and a lot of just staying with it and praying through it and asking it and asking and seeking and knocking. And he's opened some doors from just doing that. And I might take another version sometimes and just read the way it's translated there. Sometimes it's helpful. But I use that, the King James, for my reading text and for my preaching text. And so, anyway, that went way over there. But Jesus said in John 4:23 to the woman at the well, he said to her, but the hour is come, and now is, that they which worship the Father shall worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is the spirit that quickens. It is the spirit that gives life. It enlivens the word of God in your life. The word of God will come alive in you by his spirit, not by you and not by me, but by his spirit. No matter how anointed I may be from times preaching the word, it's how you are anointed as the word crashes upon your life. And yes, you are just as anointed as anyone else in the body of Christ. Never put a man above anyone in the body of Christ as being more anointed than others. He's just as anointed, and he's also just as fleshy as others. He just knows how to hide it sometimes. He knows how to carry himself sometimes. He'll hold it down until you look it away or you finish with the discussion. And so it's the Spirit of God that gives life. And our worship for him must be in spirit, and it must be in truth. And a restatement of that is this. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in Jesus. Remember Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And so they that worship him must worship him in the Holy Spirit and in Jesus, who is the truth. I am the truth. No man cometh to the Father, he said, but by me. Truth is in both John 4:24 when he spoke to the woman at the well, and 14:6 when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Both uses of that word truth is aletheia, taken from another Greek word, alethis, which simply means truth. It means something that is true. It means verity. It means not concealing. Truth does not conceal. There are no shadows in truth. There are no other ways around a subject when it's true. Truth is not concealing. Truth is transparent. He says, I am not concealing. In me, there's nothing hidden. Everything is there and available to you. This truth that he talks about. Now, Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 12:8, he says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath day. The Son of Man, he said, is Lord of the Sabbath day. Why? They were trying to convict him of doing work or causing to do work on this Sabbath day. He says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath day. And then in Mark 2:27, he said the Sabbath was made for man, again, and not man for the Sabbath. So what have we attempted to establish? I have down here, what have we established? What have we attempted to establish so far? Number one, Jesus is the truth. You say, well, what's truth? See, we'll go, we chase after truth. But what's true here? And what's true there? And a simple response is, well, Jesus is true there. Well, wait, no, I'm talking about the situation on my job. Yeah, Jesus is true. Huh? I don't get it. Well, he is. Well, what about down at the store? What the cashier did down there to me? What's true about that? Oh, yeah. That's simple. Jesus is true about that. You say, well, I still don't get it. That's not clear enough. How clear can it be? Jesus is true. How do you find, what does Jesus say about this situation here? What does Jesus say about your job? I had a situation years ago with the boss of mine. When she started, I just didn't like her. I just didn't like the way she was going about this thing. And I was having all kinds of struggles. The only problem was I was a Christian, and I messed around and asked God about it. And he says to me, you know, he said, what does my word say? That's why I don't like to ask him, because he always sends me to his word, right? Well, I like more now, but back then I didn't. I say, what it says, to be subject to those that have rule over you, and to serve them as though I'm serving you. Go forth and do that. So I had to pray. You know, when you got an attitude about something, you know, you really need to pray, because your attitude don't just fly off just because you got the word. But it should just fly off, but sometimes it doesn't. It just kind of hangs around and don't want to let go. And so sometimes you got to say, well, Lord, please have mercy and help me to get this thing straight in my heart. Because right now, I just really don't feel like serving her. But I need to. So help me. And so we resolved that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what I did with that scripture. I typed it up and posted it in my office just as a reminder, so I'd have to read it as I went by. And I continue to read, and I have to pray every once in a while, and I read it and have to pray it after once in a while. And after a while, everything, it came together. So the truth about my job situation was Jesus. What does Jesus say about your situation? We have attempted to establish that Jesus is our rest, and that he also is the Sabbath. Number three, the work part is finished in him. So when we talk about work, and it sounds a little tricky, and we'll talk a little bit about that as we go. But as far as our work is concerned, our work is complete in him. Number four, if we walk by faith and not by sight, we are assured victory in every area of our lives. If we walk by faith, not by sight. That means sometimes faith will say some things that you're not very, very, very happy about. But walk by faith anyway. There's no better way than the way that Jesus gives us to walk. Number five, the most powerful position from which to work is that of rest. Ooh, contradiction. But the rest is in him. So we must fight the good fight of faith and labor to do God's work from a position of total rest in him. Work and rest. Wow. John 15:5, Jesus said, for without me, you can do nothing. That's what he said. But without me, you can do nothing. So trust him and rest in him in Jesus' name. Trust him and rest in him. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what he said, didn't he? Take my yoke upon you. In other words, link up with me as an oxen or work animals would yoke together to do the plowing or pulling or whatever they do. He says, yoke up with me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn from me. He says, learn from me. Look at me. Jesus said, I am meek. I am lowly of heart. That means I am humble. And you will find rest unto your souls. That's where you need rest. Anyone here understands what it's like to physically go to sleep and not really get any rest? You go to sleep tired and you wake up tired. It's like you never really went to sleep. And you just still, it's the soul. It's the condition of the soul. The soul can be so agitated, that it won't settle down, even though your physical body will rest. You might not have a heart attack or something, but you get up and you're still just as groggy and out of it as when you lay down. He says, learn from me. I'm meek. I'm lowly of heart. You will find rest unto your soul. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus calls a burden light. A burden, by its very nature, is not light. There's nothing light about burden. If it's light, you call it something else. You don't call it a burden. But he says, my burden is light, not heavy. And he says, in verse 28 again, he says, I will give you rest. And the word for that is anapao, from another word. It's taken from another Greek word, anaposis, which means to repose. You know how you just kind of lay back, you kind of kick back. It's to repose, or it is to be exempt, to refresh, or to take ease, rest, to take ease. And again in verse 29 it says, ye shall find rest unto your souls. And that anapausis means intermission. Remember the movie? Some of you older guys remember the movie? Well, let's all go to the movie. They be saying go to the concession stand. And intermission is where you get a break. It rests your eyes. It rests you and give them a chance to change the reel or whatever and go spend some, break you, yeah. Go spend some money. But the intermission is a break in between the action, in other words. So he's talking about that kind of rest, a break in the action. It implies recreation or recreation as a cell that dies in the body and another cell is built. It's recreation, recreation. Rest is an unusual, a very unusual position from which to work. From rest. It's a very unusual position from which to work. In the natural, you get fired if you told your boss, I'm working from a position of rest. You know what your boss would tell you? You're fired, you lazy scoundrel. Get your stuff and go home. You can't work here and rest. No, work. But for us, it's a whole nother story. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. On the cross, he said, it is finished. In other words, he fulfilled it. He completed it. Finished, finished, finished. Hebrews 4:3 tells us, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works, work, 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 rest, work. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. Well, when is that? Genesis 1. 6 days of creation. On the seventh day, God rested. It was a done deal on the day that God rested. Matter of fact, he put in motion things for us today when he said the seed of the woman. And the seed of the serpent, that started it right there. He said, this is what's going to happen between the woman and the serpent. Because the woman was the one who was deceived in the transgression. The works were finished Can you say that? The works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, ask God to put that deep down inside there somewhere, because we work from one area, but God wants us to work from another area. It's the Romans 9:28 says, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." That's the here, upon the earth. What's that? You don't have to know and fully understand all of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven to operate in that realm. And if you're going to wait until everything is clearly explained to you, until you're finally satisfied in your own little mind, and it is that, a little mind, that what God is asking you to do is acceptable and logical enough for me. If you're going to go by logic, all you're going to do is just sit there and wait. Because I don't know that God is going to come and sit down in front of you and explain everything to you. He's going to want you to walk by faith and trust him and not by sight. He'll give you what you need. And it typically comes by and by that you do understand why things go and why things happen as they do. But we have to be careful with that, because if you can uncover it, why do you need God anyway? If you can figure it out, who needs him? You just go on and do it. No, we need him. Romans 4 says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." I mean, I gave something, so something is owed to me. "But to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Again, work rest, working not, work rest. His faith is counted unto him for righteousness. So by faith, we can boldly say, "I am the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ." And again, we'll say, "Oh, you don't know me, though. Oh, my. Ah, man, just this morning, I had a thought run through my mind. I can't be righteous." Well, you know what you call that? You call that unbelief. Well, just say amen anyway. Y'all looking at me like I just grew another head. Well, it's called unbelief according to the scriptures. By faith, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Can you say that with me? By faith, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You don't feel like it most of the time. But thank God it doesn't go about that, the feelings of what you feel. It's according to his word. Why? He said, "I am the truth." Jesus said, "I am the truth." And so getting back to our opening scripture in Hebrews 4:10-11. "For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." The one acceptable Christian work that is acceptable to God is a work comparable to your salvation experience. That's the one work that's acceptable to him, is the work that is comparable to your salvation experience, by grace through faith and not of yourself. By grace through faith and not of yourself. This is an amazing kind of concept here that I've wrestled with in the past. And how can I work and not rest and not work? What do you mean rest, work? It's elusive, because an idea like this is, as soon as you say I got it, you don't got it. It goes boop. And so you got to walk by faith in this. You got to say, "Thank you, Lord, I can walk by faith and that I can work for you while I rest in you." We labor and we work in rest. Rest from our own works. Rest from our own works. Rest from our own devices. You got to watch our devices. Oh, man, some of us are pretty sharp. Some of us are very well educated and very well read. And if we're not very careful, we'll take our devices and stick them in to the works of God and say, "I'm working for God." When actually now you're working for you. Everybody say amen. It's true. And you know, and I say amen too, because that's sometimes where we go. We got to watch our devices. We rest from our own ways, even though they seem right. Even though they seem right. Proverbs says that the way that seems right to a man ends in death. My worst enemy, and I've said this for years now, me. Not you. You might get on my nerves sometimes, but you are not my worst enemy. You know? I might get on your nerves sometimes. No, Tom. But I'm not your worst enemy. Folks may say things to you and do things to you and cause harm to you, but always remember the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. You nor I have any authority over a human spirit, over a human being. I can't tell you what to do. I can only suggest. But if the devil is using you, I can sure enough deal with him, he who's working behind you, because he's given us power over all of the works of the evil one. He's given us authority over that. And we can sit across the room and see somebody cutting the fool and acting up, and we can say, you know what, devil, that's enough. You ain't got to tell everybody. That's enough. This time for you to settle down. I command it in Jesus' name. I'm tired of hearing your voice. Shut up. Y'all never done that, have you? See, I don't have authority over you, but if the devil is using you, I've got authority over that devil. I don't have to offend you. I wanted to do that one time at work, and if I told you about it, the Lord told me not to do it because I was going to go in my flesh and pride. Anyway, what a mess. Every time I think about that, that would have been a terrible, terrible mess. You need wisdom. You need wisdom with this. Verse 11 in Hebrews 4, it sounds almost contradictory. It says, let us therefore labor to enter into rest. Labor to enter into rest. Does that not sound contradictory to you? Laborer, let's get into rest. Well, let's work to get there. Let us labor to enter into rest, lest any fall after the same example of unbelief. So what is the opposite of unbelief or doubt? Faith. Amen. Who said that? Faith. You're 100% right. Faith is the opposite. So we don't want to fall after the example of unbelief. In other words, we need to remember the strongest part of you is your life of faith, walking by faith. It is amazing, amazing, amazing what can be done. I fancy myself as having been one of the worst writers ever, though there are some that probably write worse than me. But I learned from my job when they didn't tell me, they sent me to a writing course, and I realized that, boy, somebody, talk about somebody can't write. I can't write. And it was very humbling. And so I started learning. I didn't learn the grammar, because I can't do that too well. But I started asking people that could write and learning. And the Lord gave me the assignment to write the weekend thoughts every weekend. Do you know what kind of people receive the weekend thoughts? Writers. Educated people. Well-accomplished preachers. And then a regular housewives who spend so much time in the Word that one little error they would know. And so he told me to go and do that. And of course, I struggle with that because I'm thinking, you want me to write? It just blew my mind. But write I did, and write I do, by faith. And I got an email from a sister here, just received it, just read it this morning. And it's amazing how blessed she says that she was by what was written. And all I can say, God is so good. Because I do know me. And it's all by faith. So listen, when he tells you to do something, as strange as it may sound to you, go ahead on and move by faith, because he's going to perform it in you and through you. Amen. Labor to enter into rest. That labor is crucifying the old man and his ways. That's hurtful. You tell the old man, no, you cannot have what you want. You will succumb to what God wants. The labor is taking up your cross daily and following Jesus. The cross is a symbol of execution. It's a symbol of death. It says, take up your cross every day and follow Jesus. That's the labor. Tell me that's not work. Crucifying the flesh, tell me that's not work. That's work. Because as long as the flesh is animated, there's no way that you will rest. You must cease from the works of your flesh to enter into his rest. The labor is refusing as wise sheep to follow any other voice but the voice and the direction of Jesus. Not myself, not you, not your mama, and not wise grandma, but him. Though grandma is wise, but follow his voice. Remember, if we try to do a work for God in our natural knowledge, strength, and abilities, we will fail over and over again, because the carnal man is the enemy of the spirit. You, your carnal self, is an enemy of the Spirit of God. Most folks won't say I'm an enemy of God, but a part of me is an enemy of God. And you gotta know that so that you can reconcile sometimes some of the odd things that you go through when God's word comes to you. Some of the questions and things that happen, the carnal man is being stirred. The only thing left is a slow but progressive lack of faith or unbelief, which the Bible calls evil. And when it says that, it's unbelief. Unbelief, the Bible calls evil. So we must fight a good fight of faith. And we must labor to do God's work from a position of total rest in him. John 15:5, Jesus said, but without me, ye can do nothing. Did this make sense to you this morning? So trust him. And try something new. And rest in him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your word. For helping us to hear. Bless us with it. And may we not forget it. And when years and years come down, may we say, I remember that day in church when you taught us about resting from our own work. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.